Welcome to Center Circle Live, soon to be swapping the sunny beaches of the Dominican, where you last heard Armin and Marty, for Tim Hortons Field in Hamilton, the site of this weekend's inaugural CPL match between Forge and visiting York 9. Boys, we're finally here.
We've made it.
Yeah, we did.
Just days away now.
And before we jump into this weekend and introducing the season, I just want to reflect back on kind of this journey. I've been with the league now for almost a year. Armin, pretty much the same amount of time. Marty, slightly newer, but you've been around for a while now. Just some, reflections on the journey to get to this point ahead of the Saturday and also Sunday.
It's incredible to see just how far this league has come. And honestly, in as short amount of period of time as it has, we've made a lot of progress. And, publicly facing, there's been a lot of incredible announcements that we've made throughout this last 6-7 months. But ultimately, in the end of the day, we're approaching the first ever game. And this is the moment that a lot of fans have had their eyes on. They've circled this on their calendars. So I'm really, really glad that we finally made it here. It's going to be an exciting day for everybody.
I was thinking about this the other day. Because of this whole process, it's hard to forget the times before this league started to form. Like even 10 years ago, there were some very low times and some dark times. And now when you kind of compare it, it just makes it that much more sweeter.
It's like that Netflix show, Seven Days Out. Have you seen that?
I can't say I have.
Yeah, no, I haven't.
7 Days Out is this show where it shows you like the countdown to like a big event. So it could be the opening of a restaurant, and it's 7 days out from a Michelin restaurant opening up, or 7 days out from a massive show opening up, and just how it's all hands on deck and it's the excitement and the buildup. And we're going through that a little bit in the office right now. It's been amazing to watch.
Yeah, it's been absolutely incredible to see the office in the last 7 days, last few days especially. A lot of moving pieces, a lot of media pro guys coming through. The marketing staff is in full swing as they prepare for what should be an interesting treat before the match. And it's just been, like, from a neutral perspective, if I was outside of it, this would be probably one of the most wild times I've seen in Canadian soccer history. The excitement is palpable. You can tell that everybody who's coming into the office and the CPL headquarters, they've got this energy about them now, and it's been a real treat to be a part of.
Yeah, sometimes you fall into that trap of, because we're so close to it at canpl.ca, we're kind of on the inside, so we sometimes might think things are blowing up bigger than maybe they are. But I agree with you. I think in the last 2 weeks or so, there's been more and more discussion on social media, more and more of major players in the Canadian soccer scene talking about the league. You have each club throwing their own parties in their own cities. And I think, this is quickly blown up into a national event that's coming up on Saturday.
It's like any preseason for any league times 100. It truly is. There's every element. There's the teams getting ready. There's the league getting ready. There's the players getting ready. This is all brand new.
Expectations for the weekend?
Well, I'm expecting, hopefully, a wild 90 minutes of soccer. I think we're going to get...
I think the game's going to be good. The game on Saturday is going to be really good.
Yeah, so I'm expecting a decent showing from both teams. We saw them both in preseason. Both of them look sharp, so I'm expecting, a good 90 minutes of physical soccer, some nice passing, hopefully more than a couple goals. And also, I think the thing that, a lot of people will be interested in seeing is how the city of Hamilton embraces soccer. We're hearing that there's going to be a very, very good turnout at Tim Hortons Field on Saturday. The weekend also offers us a chance to take a look at what's going on over at Vancouver Island with Pacific FC hosting HFX Wanderers FC.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah, so it's going to be, I hope, an incredible weekend of soccer for Canada.
I just hope everybody relaxes a little bit. I was thinking about this the other day. I spoke to Kyle Becker a couple months ago about this first game. And he said that, he's really stressed that if he was going to be a leader in the locker room, he was going to stress being relaxed and being calm in that moment.
He smiles in every interview. I've seen him. He smiles in every interview he does now. It's incredible.
And to be calm and to be relaxed so that you're able to, your mind's at ease, you're able to take in more of the experience and how incredible it is. So that's what he was talking about, is just trying to be relaxed, not trying to get caught up in the moment too much.
That is the responsibility of the Forge FC's very first captain. He's been named the captain of that club. He's going into that game focused and determined to make sure that Forge comes out of it with result. That being said, speaking to some of the York 9 guys a little bit earlier in the week, they're very, very into the idea of playing spoilers. So from just a pure soccer perspective, I think we're going to see a very, very curious matchup between these two teams.
Kyle Becker's been in a lot of massive matches. I think it's not just another match for him. It's a massive occasion. But I don't think him or quite a few players on Forge FC are going to be overwhelmed on the day.
It's not Jimmy Brennan's first rodeo either.
It's not Jimmy Brennan's first rodeo. He'll be there as well. Let's get into that. Forge FC welcomes York 9 FC live on One Soccer, where all CanPL games will be broadcast live. Gareth Wheeler and Terry Dunfield have the call. Andy Petrillo doing sidelines for One Soccer. General impressions of both squads. Let's start with you, Armin.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll take a look, I guess, at York 9 squad first. I've been very impressed with the way they've assembled their midfield. But the three-man back line, that was what they turned to in preseason. I'm curious to see if they'll actually use it in season. Luca Gasparato, Roger Thompson, Daniel Gogarty forming that back line. And up top, Wataru Murafoshi and Simon Ajay, two international players, but players who are both wily and, you know, physical presences. So I'm expecting to see York 9 FC kind of combine and cause some trouble for Forge.
And I'll take Forge on that one. They kind of lined up the way that we expected they would in preseason, you know, possession base, kind of looking at like that fluid 4-3-3, whatever you want to call it. Cisse looked very, very good. We mentioned him in the last podcast. He's an absolute beast. I think he's going to have a big game on Saturday. But also looking to the wings, I mean, you've got Emery Welshman could be playing out there, and same goes for Chris Nanko. Those are kind of our expected starters out there. Something else to watch for. They were very strong in preseason as well.
Adding on to that Cisse comment, it wasn't recorded, unfortunately, but he, defensive midfielder, scored an absolutely audacious chipped goal from well outside the box. So I don't know if he'll be able to repeat that feat, but he's definitely a player to watch.
He scored multiple goals in preseason from defensive midfield.
Yeah.
One thing that's going to decide this match, I've been thinking about this, you know, for the last few days, how we're going to approach it in terms of, you know, the analysis of the match. I think we have to look at York 9 and what they do. Are they going to press? Are they going to try and shut down the amount of time that Forge FC has on the ball? Playmakers like Cisse do an excellent job controlling the tempo. You get Kyle Becker on the ball too much, he's going to hurt you. Or do they do what I think they should do, which is drop back and force, you know, force Forge FC to break them down? Because there's going to be a lot of teams in this league that I think are going to be really good on the counter. But when you sit back in a nice block, are they going to have the ability to string together those 8 to 10 passes around the box and really break someone down? I think York 9 needs to sit back in this game and not go forward as much, especially if they have a few injuries, which they might have had in preseason.
Unfortunately, it looks like Jimmy Brennan's keeping his cards very close to his chest. He's not willing to reveal any tactical secrets. Charlie O'Connor-Clark of CanPL.ca editorial tried to get him to open up, but unfortunately, Jimmy Brennan is not willing to talk. That being said, we can deduce a little bit from what we saw in preseason, and I think the way they sort of set up, if that's what they're keeping, I expect them to play, or at least attempt to play, to Forge's tempo. That midfield five, a three-man back line, all of that to me looks like a team that's not willing to sit back and just let Forge kind of dictate the play. They're going to want to take it to Forge. And the other thing that we saw, Brennan and both Brennan and Carmisacco were both really stressing this, was pressing on any loss of possession. So I think what we're going to see from York is a team that's going to take it to Forge. I don't see them sitting back.
Well, and to add your point, Kurt, I think that York 9 has the right pieces to frustrate Forge in the right way. You look at that back line, Gasparato, Thompson, those are big bodies, big guys. And when you look to Forge, you know, maybe they're maybe not like the most physically impressive team. So I would look to that for sure moving forward.
I just think York 9 is better in transition. I think you sit back in this game, you know Forge is good. They showed really well in preseason. All the York 9 coaching staff were at all of Forge's preseason games. I think you sit back, you have guys going forward like Telfer. Cyrus Rolex has looked good. He's looked fast. Simon Ajay up front, I think, is going to be sneaky good this year. And I think you're trying to hit Forge on the counter. But we'll see. Additional storylines, David Gantar, the referee for the inaugural match. Armin, you spoke to him. He's known to MLS fans. What did you guys talk about?
Well, this is not David Gantar's first big match, but he did acknowledge that there is a certain pressure to, you know, make sure that the occasion is met with professional referees, and he's definitely one of them. He's definitely a referee that is bringing a ton of experience to this role, and he knows how to manage the occasion. So I think in terms of what he's offering a veteran presence, but he's also offering or at least looking at this as an opportunity to open the doors, not just for himself, he's 43, but for all the other young referees in this league who are going to make a name for themselves and showcase their abilities as they try to move on to these bigger stages. So it's building the soccer economy doesn't just benefit players or coaches, it benefits us all, and that includes the referees.
And Gantar has refereed in some World Cup qualifying matches. He's refereed in Major League Soccer. The occasion is not going to be too big for him. I think this is quite a statement from Canada Soccer and their manager of referees to say, we have some guys who can do high-level games like this and do a good job. Soccer Unites Hamilton, There's going to be 25,000 people there or thereabouts. They're trying to break a record. It's going to be incredible to see on TV.
Yeah, it's going to make an incredible atmosphere. We're fortunate enough to be there, and hopefully on the broadcast on CBC and on One Soccer, hopefully we can. Hopefully people can see that. It's truly going to be an incredible experience.
One other thing to add, York 9, a difficult stretch for them at the beginning of the year. So start in Hamilton. They go to Calvary to open Spruce Meadows, sprinkle in a little Canadian championship trip to Quebec with Blainville, and then they're out to the West Coast at Pacific FC. It's a really difficult start. So, you know, not a must-win game, of course, being the first game of the year, but you have to think if they don't pick up some points through this first stretch, you know, maybe beginning in Hamilton, it's going to be difficult.
Yeah, luckily they have a manager who's been through all of that and plenty more in Jimmy Brennan, who I think will be able to manage that kind of tough stretch. Don't forget, he's coming from not only the rigors of Major League Soccer, which also has a lot of travel to deal with, but also in England where there are games in multiple succession, multiple competitions that you got to handle at the same time. So in terms of leadership, at least they got it there, but it is still a pretty tough stretch.
I want to get a quick prediction from each of you. We're going to go around the table. Just give me a score.
I'm going to say 1-0 Forge.
I'm going to say 4-3 York 9.
I'm saying 3-1 4-3.
4-3 York 9. I think this game is going to go back and forth.
I did a double take there.
Yeah, well, don't forget, like, the defenders won't really have any concept of the attackers and vice versa, so I think it opens up the possibility for, you know, plenty of goals in either half.
I hope you're right, but I think it's going to be 3-1 Forge.
No, this is the biggest match in a lot of these players' careers. When you look at big matches, World Cup finals, Champions League finals, are those high-scoring games?
Absolutely not. And I thought about this. No, I thought about this because we have a new fantasy predictor game available on the Center Circle app. And one of the questions was, when will the first goal be scored? And in thinking about this, I thought to myself, it could be like a final and we could just have one late goal to decide it. But I think the unfamiliarity of the defensive lines, which rely on a lot of good communication around them. I mean, they have had a preseason, but it's still, this is their first sort of game test. I think that unfamiliarity will open the door for strikers who can be a lot more individualistic.
We want to welcome Nathan Ingham to the show, York 9 FC starting goalkeeper. How's it going, man?
How's it going, guys? Yeah, it's going well. Thanks for having me.
Man, I don't know if this is maybe the biggest game you've played in. You know, more than 20,000 fans at Tim Hortons Field. You guys are away. You know, excitement? I mean, what's this going to be like for you on the day?
Yeah. I think they all kind of bundle together. There's going to be a ton of excitement. It'll be important for myself and all the guys really to get in there, not get overwhelmed by the moment, and take it in, try and enjoy it. And then, but once the whistle blows and you kind of get the touches on the ball, it just kind of all goes away. You're so focused, and it's not until you score a goal or you have a break in play that you can really kind of hear the fans. So other than that, you're just talking to each other, you're helping each other out. All focus is just trying to get 3 points.
What's the preparation been like in York 9's camp? We've taken in a few training sessions. We've been at Forge and seen what they're doing. But what's it like on the inside of the locker room right now in York region?
Yeah, it's fantastic. Honestly, the spirits are quite high. Everyone's excited for this. Everyone's working hard. The competitive nature for the training sessions the last month especially, and then Dominican on, has just been trying to get in that lineup, trying to be one of the guys that's going to be able to walk on that field for the CPL's first ever match. So there's been no shortage of competitive nature in training, and just a lot of guys that are really hungry. For some guys, they're coming back home and getting a second chance maybe, or some guys getting their first ever chance as a pro. So there's a good mix of everyone, and everyone's got their own reasons to be excited for this, but the locker room's great right now, and I'm sure that's pretty normal across the league.
The talking heads at Center Circle Live, the crew here, we all call this a derby. League's calling it a 905 derby. The fans are calling it the 905 derby. But do the players on the inside, you know, feel that kind of rivalry despite not having, you know, met yet in a real game? I think, you know, one thing that's interesting about, you know, York and Forge is that a lot of the players already know each other. They've played against each other in the past. That has to add something, you know, to the tie, doesn't it?
Yeah, it definitely adds something. Like, you're not going in blind. It's not just a random game. You know everyone. They know all of us. Some guys you don't like, some guys you grew up playing with, you know what I mean? So it's all across the board. But for me, rivalries are strictly based on after you've played each other, when you got a couple guys that don't like each other, when you've been through battles against each other, when you knock each other out of cups, when you beat someone in the league, you know, like that's what really builds a rivalry. So it's exciting for the fans. It's because they're so close, they can kind of get in the stadium and you'll hear some chants and songs back and forth, which will be adding to the atmosphere as well. But for the players, we're aware of it. We know what's going on. It's not going to be a friendly game, I can tell you that. But as far as a cut and dry rivalry, we're not there yet, but I can't imagine it'll take us long to get there.
Yeah, I mean, you guys open, you know, your home slate against Forge later in May, so that's going to be an exciting one on onesoccer.ca. Have you taken a step back and just thought about the historical significance of York 9 going into this game? And, you know, you'll be able to look back in a few decades and realize you were a part of something special and say that you were a part of the inaugural match. And does that give you, you know, chills? Do you think about it? Do you reflect already despite having not even been there yet?
Yeah, there's certain days you definitely kind of driving home from training, maybe you think about it and you kind of dream about it, or you're laying in bed and you're, you know, kind of visualizing it. And there's no doubt that that's in everyone's mind. And since we're one of the only countries in the world without a top flight league, our own domestic league until now, what's happening now is never really going to happen again. We're doing something that'll not only be once in a lifetime for us, but once in a lifetime for the world. So and we're in the technological age, social media is all over it. CBC, we're super thankful they're picking up the game, and everything about it is exciting, honestly. And you do think about it. You do think about maybe telling your kids or your grandkids one day, or and seeing the first ever starting 11 picture and saying that, hey, that was me. That was me in my prime. And, you know, it does. It makes me smile just talking about it now. Like, it's a really, really unique experience. And I hope you can't really fully appreciate it right now, but I hope we do our best to take in the moment and still focus and get the work done.
So those 90 minutes of soccer, you know, you guys will be focusing the way you do for any game. The significance of the moment around it, of course, will be for the fans to enjoy, for the onlookers to sort of take in. But what's the final thought that you can give us before you sort of enter that match? What are you hoping to see from your teammates, and what are you hoping to see from yourself on that day?
Yeah, it's another good question. We want to work for each other. You know what I mean? Like, we're not going to go through 90-minute game and not make a single mistake. It's bound to happen. There's going to be some aired passes. There's going to be some loose defending maybe. But anytime we lose possession, I want to see numbers behind the ball. I want to see our defenders making up for stuff and making big tackles, making big plays, encouraging each other. You know, helping each other out. If they break through, if I can bail the team out with a couple saves. But just knowing, looking across the field in a loud atmosphere and kind of giving your guys a look and going, I got you. And that's what wins games at the end of the day. It's just working for each other, not doing it for yourself. And if we can kind of put all that together with the athleticism, the skill we have, if we can outwork them across the field and win our battles, I like our odds a lot.
All right. Thanks, Nathan. And good luck this weekend at Tim Hortons Field as you guys kick off against Forge FC. We'll see you later.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thanks, guys.
All right, Nathan Ingham saying there might be a little bit of bad blood already between some players on York 9 FC and someone on Forge. I think that's what he was alluding to.
Yeah, it looks like there's some history there. I wonder what's going to happen.
There isn't much history between HFX Wanderers and Pacific FC. The Wanderers head west, one of the longest trips in professional soccer, to open West Hill Stadium, live on onesoccer.ca. Peter Shad and Claire Rustad had to call it that one. General impressions of what we can expect on Sunday, Armin?
Well, we're going to see a Pacific FC attacking trident, as I'd like to call it.
You're all in for that. You're all in for the Pacific FC top three.
Yeah. I mean, Issei Nakajima-Farron, Ben Fisk, Marcus Haber. I love it. It's just simple. They're good players, and I expect to see, or hope to see, plenty of goals from Pacific and potentially from Halifax.
I'd like to add to that, adding to the ocean theme and the trident theme with the club, Poseidon's trident. Mm-hmm. Ben Fisk, Marcus Haber, and Issei. We don't know if they're going to start together, but to me, that is the key to Pacific
FC
success.
Be shocking if they don't start together.
But if they are able to fire, like, that's an incredible group of three. But you know, we're going to talk about the Wanderers a little bit more here. But I really like the way they looked in preseason. I think we were all impressed with how they looked down there.
Armin went with the away team in the first match of the weekend, Forge welcoming York. I'm actually thinking Halifax has a chance here to go into West Hill Stadium. And, you know, I guess you'd probably call it an upset due to the travel and just the nature of a home opener for a club. But I look at experience in this one, and I see quite a bit more experience on the Halifax team. Well-traveled players, players that I think know how to travel. You have the group from Trinidad. You have others. Zachary Secunda's played all over the world. You have a lot of experience. And I look at the Pacific roster, which we're still not too sure about because we didn't actually get to see them play a lot of games in the Dominican. So what are we making of just this idea of maybe one team having this experience, another team very young, they've wanted to go young at Pacific. Is that going to make a difference?
Well, I mean, going back to the Wanderers, I think that we're kind of understating the travel a little bit. When they went down to Punta Cana, I was talking to a couple of players, and they said straight up that part of this trip was to get used to crazy travel. This is almost 5,000 kilometers that they've traveled for the first game of the season. So if there's anything part of their preparation that they botch or messes up, whatever, their fitness levels are gone. I think that it's just a complete roll of the dice for the Wanderers at this point.
Yeah, and you look at Pacific, they lose Marcel DeJong. Again, inexperienced, maybe things coming together still out there. And I just fancy Steven Hart to go in there, have a plan, and potentially get a result. It's something he's done many times across the planet.
Yeah, I mean, I agree if it was a normal sort of balance between the two teams, but I think just Pacific's attacking lineup lends itself to the idea that they're going to, even if they have defensive deficiencies, they'll outscore their opponents. So while I understand that there's, you know, a little bit more experience in that Halifax team, I see Pacific's attacking lineup as just being too much this early in the season.
Yeah, and I'm reading Jonathan Briggan's article at CampYL.ca about Elton John saying that Halifax is going into the Lions Den. Are we buying that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Are we buying that HFX Wanderers are heading into the Lions Den?
Well, isn't the Lions Den Valor Stadium? Don't they have a lion for a mascot?
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But in sentiment, I sort of understand. I mean, for Halifax, this is not just the first away trip. It's not even just really their first Canadian Premier League match. For the city, this is the first time they've really seen professional first-tier sport of any kind in a very, very long time. So this is exclusively for the city of Halifax a chance to take in what this looks like at a pro level.
We talk about York 9 being on the road for the first 3 and 4 games of the season. Pacific kind of at the opposite end of that, where they're hosting 2 games at home, 2 important games. We think about it, 20% of the spring season. Mm-hmm. Can they afford to get off to a slow start, you know, especially given, you know, maybe the inexperience on their roster? They need to get off to a quick start.
Yeah, the beauty of the spring season is that every single match counts so much, and that's the kind of a big advantage that they have right now. I don't think they can afford to necessarily give up points, but that being said, there's going to be a lot of feeling out. So even if this kind of early homestand doesn't necessarily go their way, I think they also have the kind of players that can go into other stadiums and make a difference too. That's the beauty of, I think, Pacific FC's roster, is that there's some difference makers in that attacking lineup. And when every single game counts, those guys can turn draws into points.
Yeah, imagine being Silberbauer right now, because you've got this first game, obviously, massive to prepare for, a massive inaugural match. And then you're looking to that game on Wednesday against Valor. And only 2 days between your first 2 games of the season, as you rightfully mentioned, Kurt, that's a fifth of the entire spring season. I would not want to be him right now, especially if a result doesn't go his way in the first game.
So Armin seems quite positive on Pacific. Let's go around the room real quick, do a quick prediction, starting with Armin.
Well, I'm feeling the island vibes. I'm going to say let's go 2-1 for Pacific in that first game.
Was it Stewie the Starfish? Did that put it over the top for you?
Definitely.
Oh, man, Stewie the Starfish. 2-0 Halifax. They just look confident.
I'm going 2-1 Halifax. No way Pacific gets shut out, not with their attacking lineup. I'm going 2-1. Halifax goes into West Hill Stadium, the Lions Den, and gets a result. Let's wrap up today's show by going around the horn talking season awards. So we're talking Young Player of the Year. We're talking Goalkeeper of the Year. We might even go Coach of the Year. We're going around the horn, starting with Armin for Young Player of the Year. This is a U21 player. Your opinion? Brought to you by Center Circle Live. What do you got?
I'm going with Marcus Velado Tsegaye, 17 years old at FC Edmonton, and a player that Jeff Paulus said could be one of the best players in the Canadian Premier League. So I'm going to go with that.
Jeff Paulus, talking his players up all the time.
Well, with 11 goals from his academy season, He's also bringing, you know, kind of a potency. And if he can translate that to the senior stage, then maybe we actually do have a Young Player of the Year on our hands.
I think this Young Player of the Year award is very difficult to predict. I went through the list. I was trying to come up with, you know, who do I like? Oh, this guy has this in his history. This guy the coach has talked up a lot. It's very difficult to pick a Young Player of the Year because a lot of it, I think, depends on playing time. So, Marty, who do you got?
I got Marcel Zajac for Forge. He's 19, but he does have good experience in NCAA. You watch any clips of him, he scores some incredible goals. I know he might, and people are predicting he might not be a starter to start the year, but I do think that he will emerge as a good player, especially considering he'll be getting lots of minutes through the youth player rule
in
CPL.
And the thing about Marcel Zajac is, of course, wanted by a few Major League Soccer teams, according to a few reports, and he thought his best opportunity to get playing time was at Forge FC, so he comes there. And as Marty mentioned, the young player rule, where three players on a CPL roster have to appear for a combined
1,000 minutes.
Yeah, not a bad choice. I'm going with Caden Cheung out of Pacific. I just think he brings a pedigree, having played overseas. I think he's going to get a lot of playing time, especially now with Marcel De Jong out. Maybe he can play both sides. Some experience at the international level as well. I think it's a pretty safe pick. Coach of the year.
I'm going to go with Tommy Wielden Jr. over at Cavalry FC. And I know that might be a bit of a safe pick because, you know, he's bringing a lot of experience. He knows a lot of these guys. But I think that will be sort of a difference maker. He's already got his team playing on the same beat. And from what I saw in the Dominican Republic, I also really like his coaching style. He's firm but fair.
A lot of times, you know, these awards for Coach of the Year go to the team that's kind of performed the best too, which I don't always think is fair. So I think Tommy Wielden Jr., you probably think Calvary's going to do quite well in the league. Mm-hmm. So he'd probably be a decent selection. I'm going with Stephen Hart from HFX Wanderers. Not because I think that HFX is going to win the league. I don't. I think they're going to be mid-table at best. But I think the job that he will have had to do to bring everybody together in the Maritimes, you know, there's not a big pool of players to choose from there at the moment, to bring people in. If he can get that team into a fourth or third place situation, I think that's going to show how much value he brings to the CPL. So a lot of times these awards go to the best team, the coach of the best team. I think we got to look beyond that and think about who actually does the best coaching job within the season.
I also think Stephen Hart is going to win.
Smart man.
Yes, for pretty much the same reasons, right? You know, he's probably the best equipped manager with possibly the least ideal setup for a player pool.
Yeah.
And you know, again, if he does anything with that, I mean, also just going straight off of quality of coaching and managing experience, he is, you know, the top manager in the league. So
Stephen Hart isn't my pick for Coach of the Year, but HFX Wanderers goalkeeper Jan Michael Williams is my pick for goalkeeper of the
year.
Nice transition. And I think that's just because he's bringing a tremendous amount of experience, 81 caps for Trinidad and Tobago. I think that there's a lot of young goalkeepers who are probably going to stake a claim, but ultimately when you have a guy like that in the league, it's a pretty clear-cut one for me.
So this is the difficult part, though, right? Because while I went that way with Stephen Hart and I had that explanation for goalkeeper of the year, I actually don't think it always matters how you yourself perform. It's a defensive award, right? So let's say Jan Michael Williams picks up, you know, 10 shutouts. You know, is that, you know, because he was spectacular in goal or is it because he had a good defense in front of him? That's kind of the debate, which is why I'm going with Marco Carducci, because I think he's going to have the best defense in front of him. Safe pick, I know, but I think Carducci probably over Williams. You're nodding your head. You're shaking your head in disagreement.
I'll literally use your argument against you because I think Chekib Hosin and Peter Schall are incredible center backs, plus Krstinovic inside is also a very good player. So I think if you're talking about defensive awards, I don't think Halifax is that far back.
Armin, I also agree with you.
Excellent.
Why not? He's got 81 caps for Trinidad. Same argument for Stephen Hart. He comes into the league as probably the most experienced goalkeeper.
So you win goalkeeper of the year in the CPL based on how many caps you have for your national team.
No. I'm saying he comes in with the most pedigree and possibly the best potential to win the award.
Okay.
And also, how have we not talked about Quillen Roberts if we're talking about young goalkeepers with potential and good defense in front
of them?
He's
a good pick to possibly win it. I'm just saying, you guys have both used arguments on the number of caps somebody has, which I think is outrageous.
It's not about the caps. It's about what the caps tell you about the player.
All right, let's move on to top scorer. I'm not going to kick this one off. I want Mario to kick this one off. Give me your top scorer, your golden boot winner for CPL in season one.
Finally, I get one that I don't just have to agree with someone at the end. Jordan Brown. I think that he has an opportunity to, obviously, England Youth International. He has an opportunity to make do on his potential. He's done it previously in Germany. He's, you know, if in preseason he looked great, he scored a goal. I think he has the ability, especially with the way Cavalry's going to play.
I'm going to say Marcus Haber over at Pacific FC, just because as a center forward of his build, of his stature, ultimately you need service, and he's got the two best servicemen out wide in the league, I would say.
I'm worried about service at Pacific, and I think Dominic Malanga in Calvary is going to score more goals than Jordan Brown, which is why he is not going to win the Golden Boot. Top scorer for me, York 9's Swedish striker, Simon Ajay.
Interesting. Yeah.
Underrated. People really don't know how he's going to perform. He did well in the Swedish second division. What does that mean? I've seen him in training. I've seen how he performs. He's great in the open field. He's a decent finisher. I think York 9 is going to have a good squad. I think he's going to bag 15 goals or more. Now let's talk about who we think is going to be the overall best player of the year in the CPL in the inaugural season.
I'm going to go with HFX Wanderers FC midfielder, attacking midfielder, Juan Diego Gutierrez.
Wow.
I think he's coming into this league with a bit of a different reason than the rest of the CPL players, in that he's looking for an opportunity to, you know, establish a good lifestyle in Canada. And I think the pedigree and the quality he brings, especially from what I saw in preseason, is almost unmatched in his position and almost overall in the league.
Yeah, played at the very top in Peru, too, mm-hmm. like the very, very top level.
Also, one of those players where, you know, I haven't seen that much of him, but people who kind of walk away from HFX training or maybe saw him in a closed-door scrimmage, they're saying, oh, this guy's pretty good. This guy's going to pull a lot of strings, making comparisons to other attacking midfielders around the world. So I'm interested to see how he performs.
I'm not going to name the coach because I don't want to expose them, but one coach said he looks like Messi, and I thought that that was outstandingly outrageous.
What, like in the face or like with his game?
No, the way he runs, the way he accelerates.
That's something to live up to.
Yeah, he's got a lot more hair than Messi right now. I'm going to go with Elamon Cisse of Forge. Wow. Same thing we talked about. We talked about him before. Another player playing centrally. You know, you can get a lot of applause that way. Kurt, you don't seem too interested in that one, eh?
I think he's going to surprise people. But player of the year, like he's not going to score a lot. No, because you got to score goals. You got to set up goals. He's going to be you know playing.
Yeah.
He's a deep midfielder.
Like, except when you're like N'Golo Kante over at Chelsea, when you're just outstanding as defensive midfield.
So what's to say he's not able to score goals? He scored goals in preseason.
Audacious goals in preseason.
Yeah, multiple. I mean, he is playing centrally. It's a chance to, you know, impress every single game.
We're going to take this offline, and I'm going to bet you that he will score 5 goals or less this CPL season.
Take that bet.
I'll take it. Yeah, he's going to score more than 5.
I'm going with James Marcelin from FC Edmonton. This is a bit of a stretch. He arrived in preseason late, but from what I saw in preseason, the guy is an absolute beast in midfield, and he can play a final pass as well, which is going to allow him to get at least a few stats. If he can rack up the assists and he's the standout player in Edmonton and they do well, I think he has an outside chance to do it. I didn't want to give, you know, somebody who was an obvious pick, maybe an Emery Welshman. I think I'm going to go with James Marcelin.
Yeah, it's actually a pretty good pick.
Thank you.
What I've heard is that there was a lot of congratulations from a couple different USL coaches to Jeff Paulus. And Paulus actually said that he believes he could be one of the best players in the league, too. Now, Paulus has now said that about both
Paulus' entire starting 11. Best players in the league.
But I think that that's a pretty solid choice.
You're also, Kurt, you're kind of picking a defensive midfielder, too, eh?
But he's more two-way than Cisse. He's more two-way than Cisse.
All right.
Okay, CPL Championship. So this is picking which two clubs are going to meet there. So obviously, you win the spring, you're in the CPL Championship, or you win the fall, you're in the CPL Championship. Who you got?
Let's go Forge for the spring, because I think that over 10 games, just the quality of that team will win out. And then I think we'll see Pacific in the championship in the fall. I just see that attacking lineup overwhelming teams. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. I think we're going to see a lot of goals, and that might be the difference maker here.
Making doing that world-famous tweet about Pacific FC.
They're contenders.
When are we going to retire that joke, though? When are we going to retire that joke?
I'm keeping a close eye on the Wanderers in the spring season. I think that if, you know, any team can have a good run, and I think that they have looked promising. So who knows? 10 games. They could easily win that one. And then I'm picking Forge kind of for the reverse of what you said, Armin, just in the idea that their quality will take them through that longer spring season.
I'm picking Forge to win the spring. I'm picking Calvary to win the fall. And let's get to the final. I'm picking Forge to win it all in season 1.
Yeah, I see Forge as well. They're favorites. I mean, I think whoever ends up winning it will just be the better team anyways. It's not like we're going to see an upset, because ultimately, in the end of the day, the CPL championship wraps up what is a very, very long season, and we'll see the better team emerge.
Yeah, I'm going to have to pick Forge too. Obviously, it's unanimous here, but you know, we just have to pick with what we see, and I think that they're the favorites.
Forge, the unanimous favorites. Remember to download the Center Circle app ahead of this weekend's inaugural match, and you can watch every CPL game live or on replay at onesoccer.ca. For Armin Badakian, Marty Thompson, I'm Kurt Larson. We'll see you this weekend.